Okay, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education, the eSchool News podcast that explores the latest and greatest in edtech every month. In this episode, we dive into one of the most popular, yet many times misunderstood acronyms in the world of education, good old STEM. Everyone has heard about it. Lots of people like to advocate for it. But what does it actually mean in the operations of a day-to-day classroom? I asked this question to Patrick Brown. He's the Executive Director of STEM and Career Technical Education in St. Charles County, Missouri. He oversees the STEM and technical programs for approximately 18,000 students. His role involves developing integrated STEM courses, emphasizing critical thinking, and real-world problem solving. Now, all that sounds great, but what does that actually mean? Have a listen. Let's dive right into it. Maybe you can give our audience a little bit of an introduction to yourself and to your district.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Pat Brown. I'm Executive Director of STEM and Career and Technical Education for a large school district in St. Charles County, Missouri. We're actually a pretty big district for our state. I think we're the seventh or eighth largest district in the state at around 18,000 students. So my primary role at this point is to develop STEM-related courses and programs, and also career and technical education-related courses and programs, which I see really sort of complementing STEM. In addition to that, I'm very active in the scholarship in STEM and also in science education. So I'm the author of the best-selling book series, Instructional Sequence Matters. It's published by NSTA. I've written quite a bit about also just ways to promote, engage, and activate students' ideas in their learning. So I'm also a best-selling author of Activating Student Ideas in Elementary Science, also published by NSTA. So yeah, absolutely thrilled to talk with you today.
Yeah, what are you doing in your spare time? A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I got two young kids that keep me busy, very active in sports, and I'm an avid runner. And but I just absolutely love sort of exploring learners and learning and creating environments that really tap into the assets that all kids bring to us.
As I mentioned before we started recording, the education space love their acronyms, right?
And oh, yeah.
There's one acronym that almost before the two-letter AI came about, I would say that STEM may have been the most popular of those acronyms going back many years. But if you go to a EdTech conference or you go to a session online and you hear people talk about it, and I know many times I'll nod sagely talking about STEM and issues surrounding STEM, but it can mean many different things to many different people. Maybe we can start off from your point of view on how you would say define STEM. Give us your three sentences on what STEM is, if you can do it.
I'm glad that you brought this up, because there's few educational acronyms that are almost common vernacular, and STEM is one of them. I mean, you bring up the term STEM in just everyday conversations, folks know what it is. It's very hard to define. So I instead of a definition, I like to think about it in attributes. So one of the attributes, it definitely includes the four domains that are included in the acronym. So science, technology, engineering, and math. But I think the critical piece is that it's the integration of those four domains. It's not those things separately for something to really be a STEM sort of topic or a STEM learning experience. So that's a piece of it. I'd say the other attribute, and this really came out of why STEM even is important, it's a career attribute. So it's starting to prepare kids for areas that we know are high need, high wage, and only projected to be even higher wage, high need in the future. And that career component is not just sort of a need component in terms of just fulfilling jobs, but the need to prepare kids in different ways than we've ever prepared them before. And that really ties into the third component. The third component really emphasizes that STEM, it's more than a body of knowledge. Sort of we've elevated the importance of of using practices that are valued in each of those four domains. And we've also elevated the importance of critical thinking. And it's really learning about topics, issues, or problems through the lenses of whatever content is associated with it, the problem-solving skills and abilities that are necessary, and then the critical thinking that really goes into thinking about data and evidence as sources for us to help individuals make sense. So I said a lot. I didn't give you a three-sentence definition, but I think those three attributes are really key.
Yeah, it certainly is a great base to go through this discussion. Talk a little bit about how you take those concepts and apply them in the day-to-day management of a district. And I'll maybe even take you deeper down the rabbit hole into what does that look like in a classroom? How does that change the way in which a piece of curriculum is being created or there's an instructional strategy being implemented with the idea of having STEM being part of that?
Absolutely. So the other thing that's super popular right now is talking about teaching to promote student sense making. And the reason I bring this up is because approaching instruction from a sense-making perspective, it completely aligns with what we want to achieve in STEM. So I want to kind of give you some key elements of teaching for sense-making and then show how that kind of connects to STEM. So in a sense-making classroom, we're really starting off instruction by activating kids' ideas. And we do this in two ways. We ask them about their thoughts, their experiences, and then we situate that around problems that might exist in their region, or maybe even bigger, like a global problem, or we situate it in a phenomena. So phenomena-based teaching is huge in science education. So maybe we situate it around a phenomena. And those two things really activate a kid's thinking. So if we ask them about their thoughts or ideas around a specific problem, issue, or a phenomena, we've sort of lit the fuse in their mind because we've created that need-to-know situation. So the second key element is we want to give kids opportunities to make evidence-based claims. And this piece is key. So they need hands-on, minds-on experiences. It doesn't necessarily